Let us turn now to Psalm 23 and verse 6. Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And on Sabbath we were considering on the basis of this verse, why or how is it possible for anyone to get to heaven? And in the second place, who will get there? We tried to distinguish between those who are fit to go to heaven and those who are not. But finally, let us try to say something about the thought here, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's David, of course. And David was one who was fit to go to heaven. And he was fit to go to heaven because of the work of the Holy Spirit in his soul, for Christ's sake. And we need to be examining ourselves as to whether we are fit for heaven, as to whether the Holy Spirit has been working in our souls for the sake of Christ, as to whether we have been drawn by Almighty power out of the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. It's the house of the Lord. That's how it's described here. And you have in Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, he speaks of heaven as the dwelling place of God. Of course, we should bear in mind that God is everywhere. But the special place where he is heaven. Heaven is his throne, though the earth is his footstool. But heaven is his throne, and that is telling us that it's a glorious place. Oh, it seems very easy for many people to speak of going to heaven. And they haven't given the matter any serious thought. But you see, we need the saving work of God in our souls. We need to set our compass, as it were, to set a course for heaven. And what course is that? Well, it's the way marked out in the Word of God for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have no confidence in the flesh, but are dependent upon God, coming before him in the name of Christ. You see, the Lord is teaching them to be committing themselves to the Lord and asking for grace, asking for guidance all the way. And that's how it should be with us. And that's how it will be with us in one degree or another, to be asking the Lord to guide us, to be our shepherd. That's a great matter, that the Lord would be our shepherd. And David was saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And if that was the case, then he would be guided all the way to the gates of heaven. He would be guided through this world. Yes, brought back from his wanderings. See, that's a great part of the work of the shepherd, to bring his sheep back from their wanderings. But you see, heaven is where God's people hope to go. We might think of the tabernacle and then the temple as typifying heaven. You see, there was God's presence in the tabernacle, in the most holy place. God was in his house, so to speak. And that was true again for the temple. And that is true of heaven. God is there. And his people are going there. Though one might notice what Paul says to the Hebrews in that they already are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now, I'm not going to expound that or try to in any detail just now, but one thing we can notice is that Paul has been speaking in that chapter of Mount Sinai. And now he goes on to speak about Mount Zion. And we are to think of the contrast there between the law given on Mount Sinai and the gospel in connection with Mount Zion. We are come unto Mount Zion and to the heavenly Jerusalem, not the literal Jerusalem. I don't suppose many of us have been there. But that wouldn't necessarily do us any good. But to come to the heavenly Jerusalem, and I'm not just now speaking about the Jerusalem that is above, as you have that in the last two chapters of Revelation. What I'm thinking of is the city of God in this world, which is formed in the way it is because of what is in heaven, because of the purposes of the one who rules in heaven, and he brings sinners into his kingdom. Or to put it this way, he brings sinners into this heavenly Jerusalem before he brings them to heaven. In the full sense. To the city of the living God. I missed that expression out. See, the great thing is, the one who rules, the one who owns the church. And of course, Christ purchased his church. He redeemed his church by that act of gracious power which he did in this world. An act of gracious power. He purchased his people. he drew on the basis of the fact that he purchased them for himself. And then by the Holy Spirit they were drawn. They were drawn by Almighty power. He went to look for them, did Christ. And he takes them and he carries them on his shoulder. That's a good shepherd, is it not? And he's a good shepherd because he gave his life for the sheep. Now that's the gospel. The good news. Yes. I read a little note about someone who, whenever he would be asked, what news today? He would say, good news. And something to the effect that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's good news. It's the gospel, which just means good news. And you see, when the Lord is drawing a sinner out of the darkness of Satan's kingdom and working in the soul of that sinner, he makes the gospel to become good news to that sinner. And he brings them into the city of the living God. And having done that, he will keep them all the way. And at last, he will bring them to the heaven that is above, the city, where there is that river of living water, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And we read about the perfection of that place in Revelation 7. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now you see, some of these things that they're to be delivered from are good things. Like the sun. The world would be impossible to live in if there was no sun. And yet, one can get too much of the sun. It can burn us. It can burn us badly. Yes. But you see, the sun will not light on them. Not any heat. The heat that would be too much for us. The light that would be too glaring for us. No. In being brought into heaven above, there will be much light. When God's people will be brought into the presence of God and of the Lamb. Now what he told in there that it's what we're told in Revelation that about the presence of God and of the Lamb. Now that no doubt should remind us of the sacrifices that were offered up in this world, and therefore Christ as a sacrifice. Christ as a sacrifice. Now, what is true of the people of God in heaven? And there will only be the people of God in heaven. Of course, there's the angels, but that's another matter. And why are they in heaven? Why can they be in heaven? And the answer is, because of the Lamb and the sacrifice that Christ offered. His whole saving work in heaven. That's it. But you see, we've to be reminded of that. We're to be reminded that we ought to go on beholding the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's doing that here. There's no more sin to be taken away when souls get to heaven. They're made perfect in holiness instantly. All their sins have been forgiven. All heavenly blessings are theirs. They had a right to them from the first smallest exercise of faith in Christ. But now, everything, all blessings, are put into their hands, as it were, as far as their souls are concerned. But there's this to follow. Their bodies. Being still united to Christ, they rest in the graves till the resurrection. And they're brought out of their graves. Body and soul are reunited. They're brought to the judgment seat to be judged. And there's no passing over anything that should be brought up on the day of judgment. But then you see, all their sins have been forgiven. There's nothing left to be laid against them. Yes. It's just this. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom provided for you from the foundation of the world. Yes. Provided in the mind of God. And then the Lamb is sent into the world to suffer and die. And it's a complete salvation that the Lamb of God provides. Yes. And then, you see, how David was thinking along these lines in Psalm 16. We have him in this psalm and he is saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, till my last day in this world. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But to bring into the comparison, this in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. That's another way that leads to everlasting life. From the time that David was brought into communion with the good shepherd, when he was enabled to look on to the blessing of the good shepherd. The blessing of the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And I'm sure the people of God, they get something of the Lord's presence when they are given something of his word into their minds and they are unable to think about that. You might say they have been brought into the presence of God. And at thy right hand at pleasures forevermore. But it's a fullness of joy that they can, I say that they can live with. You see, some of the godly, perhaps not many, but I think it was one of the converts under David Brainerd in among the American Indians that I read of a few days ago, and she had something of that. When it was necessary, as it was with some others, to say that they couldn't bear any more of the presence of God. It was too much for their frail human nature. But there's this about God's house and heaven above, that the people of God, strengthened in their souls in particular, as their bodies will be strengthened farther at the resurrection, that they can endure that fullness of joy which will be their situation permanently in heaven. Even what their weak body can endure, it'll no longer be a weak body. It will be their strengthened body, a spiritual body. Yes. Oh, what blessings there are for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What blessings. A fullness of blessings. A fullness of joy. We noted that expression. But a fullness of blessings. Great blessings in this world. To be among God's children. To be sustained and to have promises, sure promises. You see, for David it was a sure promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And this was another sure promise. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we can describe these promises as belonging to the covenant of grace. Now, to be able to read the covenant of grace in every degree, even a few words or so, that's a great matter. And any of the sure promises, and the promises are all sure, and all these promises, how wonderful they are, how great are the blessings that are spoken of. Yes. Or again, in Revelation 15, these people like David, when they get to heaven, are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. They serve him all the time. Now, in this world we get weary. That's part of our fallen nature. We may serve, but we get tired. Physically tired, mentally tired. We couldn't go on day after day with no sleep serving God. But they serve him day and night in his temple, the house of God, praising him. That's part of what the people of God should be doing in this world, praising him. But the thing is, in heaven, they praise him day and night. They serve him in that way in heaven. Yes. And this, in line with that, Revelation 21, the gates of it, of this city, the gates of the house of God, the final house of God, the temples in this world, that's the tabernacle and the final, there were two temples in the Old Testament, and then the second temple was made more glorious in an outward way. But you see, what was that? They were all destroyed, at least the temples were destroyed. The tabernacle, it deteriorated through age. With skins and materials like that that were in it, they would deteriorate. But you see, it's that final temple, which is forever. And what we have is, there shall be no night there. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You see, so the souls of believers, they're able to serve God day and night in his temple, praising him. The resurrected bodies rejoined to the soul, they will serve day and night in his temple. No night there, no darkness, and nothing that can be described as darkness. No sin in particular. That's a great matter. I shall dwell in the sinlessness of the house of God forever. You can add that to what David said. No sin there. There should be no more curse. Yes. It's a great blessing to have grace. It's a great blessing to be justified. It's a great blessing to have the work of sanctification going on and to be adopted into God's family. It's a great blessing for the work of sanctification to be completed. It's a great blessing to have no sin and never to have any kind of contact with sin, but to save God day and night in his temple. But you see, we need to consider this. Paul knew that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yes. If our body is laid down, if the earthly house of our tabernacle is dissolved, if our soul leaves the body and goes to heaven, then if our soul leaves the body and we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, because we have found the Messiah for ourselves, what a blessing. And that's the thing, you see. Have we found the Messiah? Have we found Christ as the Savior of sinners? Have we looked, according to the call of the gospel, to Christ Jesus as the great and glorious Savior? Well, have we? And whatever our situation, the call comes to us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of God are to go on believing in Christ. They are to exercise faith over and over again. And when the time for that is over, then they will go to heaven. But what about those who have not yet found Christ? Are you seeking it? Are you in earnest about your soul? Are you thinking again and again about the need you have? There's an eternity before us. Death is before us. And that opens up into eternity, whether to heaven or to hell. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is set before us as a great and a glorious Savior who can save us from our sins. Oh, let us cast ourselves upon him. Let us go to him again and again with these words ringing in our ears. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. May the Lord bless his word to us.